Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, May 1st, 2015. As the world marks World Press Freedom Day this weekend, South Sudanese lawmakers say there is freedom of expression in the country, but journalists say the government is harassing them.
Every citizen shall have the right to the freedom of expression, reception and dissemination of information, publication and access to the press without prejudice to public order, safety or morals as prescribed by the law. The Constitution gives right to any South Sudanese to express him or herself.
And more child soldiers are demobilized in Jonglei and hope to rejoin their families and return to school.
It's good to be here. I can now feed myself, and if I continue to work here, I'll be able to provide for my relatives who are needy. I also hope to use the money to pay for my school fees.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. On Sunday, it's World Press Freedom Day, and we are taking a closer look at the current state of press freedoms in South Sudan. We have several stories for you today, beginning with a gathering in Juba of editors and journalists who say five journalists were killed in an ambush in January and more than half a dozen outlets have been threatened and harassed for covering the views of rebels. Philip Thonaleu has the story for VOA from Juba.
Matsiang Chirilo is the editor of El Mojif, a daily Arabic newspaper, and the secretary of the National Editors Forum. Chirilo says his paper interviewed Lemakol, the leader of the opposition SPLMDC party, earlier this week, and planned to publish the interview today. After running a brief portion of the interview yesterday, Chirilo says he cancelled its publication at the last minute.
A senior officer of national security ordered me that to not run out this interview. So this is one of the problems facing the editors and all the media. So we are not going to run out this interview for our readership because they told us that if we do it, they will take a lot of action against us.
Chirilo says this is just one of many times he has had to censor himself to avoid having his newspaper shut down. Oliver Mwadi, chairperson of the Union of Journalists of South Sudan, says the media environment in South Sudan is very hostile.
In the last 12 months, the Union of Journalists of South Sudan has registered at least five incidents of killing of journalists in the Republic of South Sudan. Six incidents of harassment. Nine incidents of arrests. Two incidents of intimidations. Seven incidents of confiscation of newspapers and eight incidents of closure of media houses in the Republic of South Sudan.
Modi says reporters and editors have been harassed, instructed not to cover particular stories, and newspapers and stations have been shut down. For example, he says the Nation Mirror newspaper was closed on February 3rd and has not been allowed to start up again. Speaking yesterday at a town hall meeting sponsored by South Sudan in Focus in Washington, D.C., Ambassador Susan Page, who served as the first U.S. ambassador to South Sudan, said many journalists have been harassed and abused in South Sudan.
It's not just Voice of America that has had its reporters beaten up. They've been locked up. But this is also true of local and other international media outlets and individuals. It is a real problem in South Sudan, as it is in lots of places where there is conflict going on. People get afraid of the truth and what is being reported, and also the media has a responsibility to report the truth.
Modi says his union has been meeting with top security officials to try to keep a dialogue going. He says the union simply wants to explain to officials the importance of a free press in order to have a well-informed society. He says reporters must also be mindful about ensuring their own safety as well.
In order to advance your work without any causing problem with another person, stick on your ethics. Stick on your ethics at the moment as the only solution to resolve all this.
Those ethics, Modi says, include balancing stories by allowing both sides to comment on controversial issues. But in recent months, that attempt to provide balance is deemed unacceptable by security agents, as illustrated by the Salib censorship in the Al-Mawqif newspaper with its recent SPLMDC official interview. Despite the increased harassment since the fighting broke out in December 2013, Modi says South Sudanese journalists will not retreat. He says the government should respect the constitution, which grants freedom of expression and freedom of the press. For VOA News, I am Philip Tona Leo in Juba.
Journalist in Western Bahr al-Ghazal State remembered five colleagues who were killed in that January attack. The journalist gathered today at the Information Ministry to honor the reporters who were killed in an ambush on Raja Road. As Dimo Silvia Oralio reports for VOA from WOW, the group gathered to express their commitment to continue working despite threats, intimidation and harassment and detention.
Journalists in WOW say the death of the five colleagues after an ambush on Raja Road was a great loss for journalists in Western Bahr al-Ghazal and all of South Sudan. They say that in developing countries, the media makes important contributions in establishing democratic institutions. Alor Denkur is the state chairperson for the South Sudan Union of Journalists and the director of Radio WOW. He says they are eager for the release of the state's investigation into the killings and for the perpetrators to be held accountable.
This day is a good day, and we hope all the families of our brothers whom they lost their life in the event that well-known in Raja, and hope they will come and attend this celebration concerning these things. In fact, we'll try our level best to regarding to this issue, but due to some challenges, we try to knock many doors, but unfortunately we failed to do this. But for us, we want just only this conversation must take place, at least even with nothing, so to show our solidarity with our brothers and their families. And we hope later on we will do our level best to do something for the family.
He says journalists in Western Bahr al-Ghazal are free to do their work, at least in theory. However, some are still being threatened and detained while covering breaking news and developing in-depth stories. Alor wants to bridge the communications gap between journalists and security forces, and a call from the media to government officials to allow journalists to do their jobs properly in the interest of the better governance and more transparency.
There is a high committee being formed by the government of this state regarding to this issue, and this committee went and come back and reported to the head authority here, but we did not receive any result of it. Until now, we are waiting the result which come out from this committee. In fact, I don't know exactly what happened, and we are doing on it so that to know the result which came out from the committee. So we didn't get any feedback from them now till now, and we are really looking for it to get the good result so that we can spread it to the family and for the entire of journalists here in Western Bahr al-Ghazal. Well,
South Sudan has relatively few female journalists, though the number of female journalists is growing. Margaret Gitano works for Radio Tamasuk in WOW. She was detained in February by state security officers for nearly 6 hours. She says she was released without any charges. Gitano says that experience did not scare her from covering stories.
It gave me courage because, as a journalist, it is stated from the very beginning that we will face harassment, detention, arrest, and may even be killed, just like our colleagues who died on Raja Road. So if you are practicing a profession that you know is dangerous, you will be confident. When I was arrested, many advised me to stop covering stories, but I said, I don't see anything that can stop me from going out to look for news.
For many females such as Gitano, being a journalist does present a challenge to family life. Gitano says She sometimes spends long hours working, and her husband and children definitely missed her.
يعني أنا في مجال الميداني أنا ما بواجه مشكلة كتير لأنه أنا بعرف بتعامل كيف مع الزول اللي أنا عايز.
I don't have much difficulty covering stories in the field because I know how to go about getting information. But at home, there is a big problem because my husband is at home and needs me. My children also need my love and comfort. This was my problem at the start. But now they understand, even my husband. I can go every morning for long hours to the far counties covering events and come back in the evening.
African female journalists have begun to win big international media awards for their tenacity and coverage of important development issues like maternal health and social issues, and thus are role models for younger women. On Wednesday, the United Nations Cultural Organization named CNN Chief International Correspondent Christiane Amanpour, one of the world's best-known female journalists, as its goodwill ambassador for freedom of expression and journalist safety. For VOA, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio, reporting in WOW.
The head of Information, Telecommunications and Culture Committee in South Sudan's parliament says lawmakers are trying to enforce three media laws passed last year. Thomas Wani Kundu says Information Minister Michael Makui told his committee he has appointed officials to the Media Authority and Broadcasting Corporation as required by the law. Kundu acknowledges that despite the new laws, many incidents of arrests and harassment of journalists continue to occur.
Right from day one that the bill was signed becomes an act, and so we are using it. And right from that day up to this moment, the media law is in operation fully, and each and everyone knows his and her role in the provisions of the bill.
As far as these laws were concerned, for example, there was supposed to be a media council or an information commission and some bodies like that. Have these bodies already been set up?
Last week, the Minister of Information, on his summon to this committee, this was the question asked. And he answered that he has already nominated personnel to the Media Authority, Broadcasting Corporation, except the information officer, and is already presented to the President of the Republic in order to issue a decree in according to the provisions clearly stated in the media law. So we urge him to speed up following up with the President so that the decree is issued for the formation of these institutions before tabling of the budget for the new fiscal year 2015-2016, in order for us to guarantee a budget for the establishment of this institution for the smooth running of the media activities in the country.
There have also been some concerns that journalists across the country are sometimes being harassed or even being detained, especially by security personnel. As the person in charge of the Information and Culture Committee, what's your comment on this?
Our constitution, the Transitional Constitution of the Republic of South Sudan, 2011, Article 14, Sub-Article 1, heading is Freedom of Expression and Media. I quote, every citizen shall have the right to the freedom of expression, reception and dissemination of information, publication and access to the press without prejudice to public order, safety or morals as prescribed by the law. That means the constitution gives right to any South Sudanese to express him or herself. In our conduct of business regulation, the function of this committee, regulation 6, sub-regulation C, says the function of the committee of information is monitoring of the freedom of expression and media and right of access to the information. These are the tools that we are using. But despite all this, of course, these intimidations and harassment to the journalists is there simply because our security personnel are liberators. You know, somebody who has been to the bush for a long time has that mentality of the jungle law. And then, of course, the trauma of somebody who has been to the bush for a long time. In addition to lack of legal culture, so as to know the human rights, these are the things that is still existing in the mind of our security personnel, but we are transforming them. So whatever happens with the intimidation by the security personnel, the government is working hard to run the form of security personnel so as to get used to the legal culture.
Another concern that is being raised continuously is that it's very difficult to get information in hands of public officials. Is there anything your committee is doing to ensure that public officials can provide information to the public or to journalists when required?
The government is composed of the three organs. That is the legislature where I'm in, executive, and the judiciary. So the information I'm giving you, I'm part of the government. Because as I said earlier, that most of our people are liberators and they need time to cope up with the modern world. Does not mean that they deliberately refuse to give information, but as time goes on, they will get used to and they will avail any information that whenever the journalist requires. Provided that the journalist must be professional according to the law.
As we reach the World Press Freedom Day, which is actually on Monday, what is your take on the state of press freedom in this country?
Well, South Sudan, to be frank, has a freedom of expression. And you might have already witnessed on the newspapers. And you have already seen on the other political parties criticizing government direct. That means we have freedom of expression as guaranteed in Article 24.1 of Transitional Constitution. Despite the fact that we're a new country, but the level of freedom of expression compared with the other countries, which were there for decades, I think we are already at the lead.
That's Thomas Wani Kundu, chairperson of the Information, Telecommunication and Culture Committee in South Sudan's parliament, speaking to my colleague Charlton Doki in Juba earlier today. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we'll have more on how the conflict has affected the media in South Sudan.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
which sports athlete do you admire most and why?
A lot, but as of now, I think I like Cristiano Ronaldo because he's a very quite talented young man. And it's obvious, he's very good at what he does.
I admire Michael Essien, humble background, but he's really made it.
The sport I admire most, I'll say Usain Bolt, because I've watched over his documentaries, where he came from and how he has been able to stand out as a Jamaican in sports.
The sports athlete I admire the most is Mary Wire, because despite that she's fat, she does well in the court.
The Tiger Woods, because even after the scandal, he was able to bounce back. And now, even though he's not performing well, they're going to start the new Grandmasters.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Owners of newspapers and radio stations say the ongoing conflict has not only curtailed press freedoms, but has crippled their businesses. They say those challenges combined with the high cost of living, including high printing cost, has resulted into significant financial losses and uncertain future for their businesses. Mungome Debs Rakarinj filed this report for VOA from Juba.
Alfred Taban, founder and editor-in-chief of the Juba Monitor, says copies of his newspaper have been confiscated twice so far this year. He says in some cases, national security agents have even ordered him not to go to print if the edition contains views from the opposition side.
Actually, 90% comes from adverts. So if we don't print, we lose 90% of our revenue. And of course, if it is confiscated, we even lose more because we lose the revenue and we also lose the printing costs.
Taban says he has lost count of how many times he has been instructed to report to the National Security Office and ordered not to publish his paper. And he says it is nearly impossible to seek legal redress for what has happened to him because usually there is no written order. Reporters Without Borders ranks the performance of countries according to a range of criteria, including media independence, respect for the safety and freedom of journalists, and the enforcement of press freedom laws. In its latest index, South Sudan ranks 125th out of 180 countries, falling 6 spots from its previous ranking. Reporters Without Borders says that is largely due to harassment of news organizations in South Sudan. Josephine Achiro, the director for Radio Bakita, whose station was closed by security agents for 2 months last year, says the station incurred heavy losses during the shutdown and had to lay off half of their staff.
we don't have money to pay ourselves salaries. Then we stayed for almost 6 months without getting salaries, but we are giving the service to the people. So until the administration of Bakita has to run up and down to find some other ways of how to get, I mean, to give the staff money at least to transport them here and for the communication.
South Sudan Information Minister Michael Makwei has warned media groups and journalists that they will face harsh punishment if they publish or broadcast interviews with the rebel officials. Last year, military officials also said media organizations should run their security-rated stories by the office of SPLA to get their approval before they are published or broadcast. Antaban says that doesn't even take into account the bad economy in South Sudan.
For the readers, many of them cannot really afford the cost of even one newspaper, because now we sell one newspaper for £4, and it used to be just £2. When it was £2, there are a lot of people who were buying the newspaper. But now, very many of the copies are not sold because they are not buyers.
Achiro agrees. For example, she says they used to pay £15 for a reporter's transportation to cover an event. Now they must pay about £40 a day.
It is so serious. It affects even us here. I remember some 2 months back we were in some problems with our news desk, whereby the story used not to come as usual. It's like whenever we used to have like 6 or 8 stories in a day, it cut down to like 4 or 5 or sometimes even 3 in a day, simply because of the issue of the transport.
Last year, President Salva Kiir signed media laws that were supposed to enforce media freedoms in the country. But Taban and Achiro say those guarantees would not be respected until the war ends and peace returns to South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Ruakarinj in Juba.
Still in South Sudan, South Sudan's ambassador to the United States says ending the long conflict and bringing peace to the people is the number one priority of the government of President Salva Kiir. Speaking yesterday during a panel discussion on the South Sudan peace process at the Voice of America here in Washington, Ambassador Garang Ding Kwang said South Sudan needs permanent peace to actualize the country's independence.
To bring peace in South Sudan needs a resolve from both parts, the government and the rebels. Peace is essential for South Sudanese people because we need peace. The independence we won was because we needed a permanent peace. It is unfortunate that we have this incident and we are now going through this war. So a peaceful settlement is the goal of the international community, the hope of people of South Sudan, and the government has committed itself and the president has been more than committed, and he met the rebel leader more than once so that peace can be reached in our country. All of us are yearning for peace, especially the government, because it is the government that is responsible for protection of the integrity and sovereignty of the country. Therefore, it is the government that needs peace more than anybody else.
Garang Ding Kwang is the South Sudan's ambassador to Washington. He spoke yesterday during a South Sudan in Focus panel discussion on peace process here at the Voice of America. Also speaking during the panel discussion was former U.S. ambassador to South Sudan, Susan Page, who is currently senior advisor to the Office of the U.S. Special Envoy for Sudan and South Sudan. She expressed disappointment that the warring parties have not been able to achieve peace despite enormous international goodwill facilitating the talks. Ambassador Page said one essential element for peace is compromise.
Not very happy to be talking about the sad situation in South Sudan, as all of us are very saddened by what's going on and disappointed. But in terms of the peace process, we have consistently been saying that it is imperative that the peace process be broad-based, that a wide variety of people representing all walks of life. We also think that one of the essential elements is compromise. That's true in any negotiation. The parties have agreed to create a transitional government, and that's what we have been pushing for, along with the broad-based participation of people from all walks of Sudanese life. So these are some of the areas that we believe are very critical. And the one thing that hasn't yet been highlighted since we just began, is the necessity for accountability and justice and reconciliation. We believe that that is really imperative to ending the cycle of violence that has gone on for a very long time in South Sudan.
That's Susan Page, former U.S. ambassador to South Sudan. South Sudan civil society activist Sarah Kileto, who was also at the panel discussion, said the peace process needs to be more inclusive.
December 13 brought to light the hegemony of the few and the victimization of many. And it became like a groups, people with their tribes, and mainly it's the two major tribes that has been fighting. And even if we look at the table is not inclusive. And when we look at the negotiations now, it's trying just to end the war. But what next after that? And it became a discussion among the two individuals. It's more personalized, or it's just the groups, the government and the SPLM, or in opposition. We understand that there are women in all the delegation, but when we look at the small table, there's no gender balance.
That was South Sudan civil society activist Sarah Kileto Real speaking yesterday during our panel discussion here at VOA in Washington. Tune in next week when we will air more excerpts with our panelists from the Tuesday's panel discussion on South Sudan's peace process. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. The chief prosecutor for the eastern U.S. city of Baltimore has announced criminal charges against six police officers involved in the arrest of Freddie Gray, saying the state medical examiner has determined his death in police custody was a homicide. State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby said today that Gray suffered a severe and critical neck injury while being transported in the police van on April 12th. She said he was not secured by seatbelt and he should have been, and that officers did not seek or render medical assistance, even when Gray said he needed it. The death toll from the earthquake in Nepal continues to rise, surpassing 6,200 people today. That number is expected to escalate yet further as teams of rescue workers from across the world uncover bodies buried under the rubble of last Saturday's quake. In the capital yesterday, rescue workers pulled out two survivors separately. Rescuers first reached a teenage boy and hours later reached a woman in the rubble. Rare moments of joy in the grisly recovery process. And finally, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry visits Kenya next week to discuss national security and security cooperation, trade, and human rights with Kenya's leaders. Rights groups are urging Kerry to use this opportunity to address alleged abuses committed by Kenyan forces in their anti-terror visit and campaign. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song "You Are One in a Million" by Justin Simpleman. Wayamu makuri ngatwa, awinyu kuruma keken dali. Wayamu makuri ngatwa, awinyu kuruma keken dali. Ibaru wia kwiji kwiji, kuri lengi nanti buri keken badali. Ibaru wia kwiji kwiji, kuri lengi nanti buri keken badali. Corona ming mo good buddy, that wal wo kukuma yo biere. Corona ming mo good buddy, that wal wo kukuma yo biere. Ikinwa a million, you better than them, my baby. I know for you one with you. One in a million, you better than them, my love. I know for you one with you. One in a million, you better than them, my baby. I know for you one with you. One in a million, you better than them, my love. I know for you one with you. Will tell you le rougong, miri my tuna kaiti mudong and kumeli way. Will tell you le rougong. You have been listening to Justin Simpleman with the song "You Are One in a Million." Remember, these are not my words. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
you or nobody, my love.